The Vampire Counts of Sylvania. On the eastern border of Stirland, in the cold shadow of the World's Edge Mountains, lies the land of Sylvania. No sane man would dare venture forth after dark there, and no questing knight or weary pilgrim would ever accept shelter within the brooding, rotting castles that tower over the land. By night, the brutish peasants of the squalid villages lock and bar their doors and hang bundles of witchbane and demon's root over their shuttered windows in the vain hope that these protective herbs will ward them against the terrors that haunt the night. Wizards claim that the wind of dark magic blows strong in Sylvania, and that the keeps of the nobility are built over particularly ill-omened sites. Even the notoriously brutal and fearless tax collectors of the Elector of Stirland wear amulets blessed by the priests of Mor and Sigmar, and go about in companies 50 strong when their lord compels them to seek his dues there. For as long as any man can remember, evil tales have been told of Sylvania. The odds are good that if ever a tavern bard recites a grisly ballad or a court poet inscribes a story of horror, then the setting will be this dire place. There are more dark legends concerning Sylvania than all of the other imperial provinces put together, and most of these tales contain a solid kernel of truth. This is indeed a land where unquiet spirits, thirsty vampires, and evil sorcerers still walk beneath the moon's pale light. Only the bravest or the most foolhardy would wander there, and then only with the most compelling of purposes. The oldest recorded incidents of the evil nature of the place dates back to the Great Plague of 1111, when it is said that even the rat-like Skaven feared to venture into the Sylvanian forests for fear of the undead armies that stalked the land. It is told that on the night of Gehermans Nacht 1111, Morslieb pulsed with emerald witchlight, and a hail of incandescent meteors rained down on Sylvania. Astrologers and soothsayers prophesied catastrophe. This starfall was indeed an ill omen, and it was in this year that the dead first walked in Sylvania, rotting corpses marked with black blotches of the plague refused to stay in their graves. Dead fathers came back to claim their children. Even the ghouls fled from overflowing graveyards and vaults whose inhabitants would not stay at peace. Soon, armies of decomposing corpses shambled about the land, needing only a will to guide them. They found it in the form of Frederick von Hell, whose name would become corrupted by later generations to Van Hell. He bound the great undead host to his will and conquered the land that would later become known as Sylvania, building his keep at Van Halden Schloss, the ruined site of which is still shunned to this day. During the Black Death, the Empire writhed under the claws of Skaven oppression, and only the evil ratmen contained the expansion of Van Hell's necromantic domain. The Skaven and undead expended their strength in a long and futile war that was eventually to cause their downfall. Van Hell was assassinated by his ambitious apprentice, Lufa von Dahl, who was himself driven out of Van Halden Schloss by a band of knights apparently led by his master's ghost. After von Dahl's disappearance, lacking a guiding intelligence, the undead armies wandered the land aimlessly, slaughtering the living, but also being destroyed piecemeal by their human, Skaven, and orc opponents. It took many centuries for the Empire to recover from the ravages of the Black Plague. Sylvania never really did. The population was reduced to a tenth of what it had once been, and the incidence of mutation and disease was many times greater than anywhere else in the Empire. In addition, since the Great Plague, the dead of Sylvania have shown an uncomfortable tendency not to stay buried. This problem accounts for the infamous Sylvanian custom of burying corpses face down in their coffins, so that if they try to dig their way out, they simply burrow downwards. In the years following the Great Plague, Sylvania acquired a terrible reputation. The peasants became a byword for close-mouthed sullenness and stupidity. The thin soil of its fields produced fewer crops than anywhere else in the empire. Famine and blight were common. Few merchants traded in the area, for there was little money to be made. Only the most desperate outlaws made their lairs in its profitless and haunted forests. The ruling house of Von Drac was thin-blooded, decadent, and lazy, half-hearted in the pursuit of their feudal duties, and had a history of congenital idiocy and insanity. It is said that they were the only noble house in the empire not to send at least one son to the Crusades in Araby. The rest of the nobles of the region were little better. Many were evil-hearted, oppressive, and thoroughly corrupt men, little better than bandits who fought and raided each other with no respect for higher authority. The remainder were ineffectual cowards with no taste for war or other noble pursuits. Sylvania became a backwater, shunned by the rest of mankind, and in its shadowy corners dreadful things went about their business unhindered. Like a magnet, it drew evil sorcerers who could pursue their study of dark magic undisturbed. Occasionally, word of dark deeds drew the attention of witch hunters or one of the ferocious Templar orders, and the woods were scoured, a process which the local nobility neither helped nor hindered. Otherwise, the slow growth of the powers of evil in the land went unchecked. This eventually caused Grand Theogonist Jurgen VI to call for a crusade against Sylvania. Unfortunately, this was during the time of the Three Emperors, when there were three claimants to the imperial throne, so the empire was too fragmented to respond. Thus, the Von Dracs maintained their ineffectual rule of this blighted land. Vlad von Karstein. The nadir of this dark period came centuries later when Vlad von Karstein took over the rulership of Sylvania. The tale of how the first of the infamous vampire counts came to power is a cruel one. It began on a storm-lashed night when Otto, last of the mad von Drac counts, lay on his deathbed, cursing all the gods that he was without a male heir. Otto swore that he would marry his daughter Isabella to a demon of chaos itself, rather than let his hated brother Leopold inherit. He had already refused the hand of every noble in Sylvania, for he despised them all, and no one of high blood from outside the region wanted to marry an heiress from that land. Otto was an evil man, given to putting the heads of peasants on a spike at the slightest provocation, and when mad with drink he was convinced that he was Sigmar reincarnated. The nobles, who should have been his liegemen, had no respect for his authority and paid no attention to his commands. All of Sylvania seethed with civil strife. On his deathbed, the dying man lay, unrepentant, and cursed all the gods. Outside, the thunder rumbled and lightning split the storm-black darkness. Victor Gutmann, the aged priest of Sigmar, who had been called to shrive the old count, fainted dead away. Then, from out of the storm, came the sound of wheels. A great black coach drew up outside the keep. A heavy hand smote the door a ringing blow, and a cold, arrogant voice demanded entry. The castle gate swung open on its hinges before any men-at-arms could touch it, and the dog ceased to howl and slunk away. The stranger was tall, dark, and proud, of noble bearing and aspect. No one prevented his entry into the castle as he marched to the count's chamber. His accent was foreign, perhaps from Kislev, and he recited his noble antecedents to the count, claiming Isabella's hand. Looking into the stranger's coldly glowing eyes, the count perhaps regretted his rash oath, But he could deny the stranger nothing. The priest was roused and performed the marriage ceremony before the dying man's bed. Then Otto expired, leaving his daughter in the charge of Vlad von Karstein. The new count's first act was to heave the protesting Leopold through the window of the highest tower of Castle Drachenhof. Vlad seemed as eccentric as old Otto. He never ate in his servant's presence or walked abroad by day. He dismissed the priest and sent him from the village. No one ever saw Victor Gutmann again. Soon, many of the old servants at the keep were dismissed, and mysterious, suave strangers from the east took their place. However, the new count seemed less oppressive than the old one, and so the folk got on with their daily business, ignoring the hooded and cloaked foreigners that often visited the castle. Years of von Drach rule had taught them not to question the deeds of their betters. At least the new count didn't order senseless executions for his pleasure or demand the exorbitant taxes the old one had. No one doubted the count's prowess in battle either. When the company of Bernhoff the Butcher rode into town and demanded tribute, the count cut the mercenaries down as if they were mere striplings, although Bernhoff was a famed warrior. Vlad then proceeded to slaughter the entire mercenary band while his bodyguard watched, taking no part in the bloodbath. The count's popularity was assured. Within his realm, the laws were kept. The guilty were punished and bandits were kept at bay. Word reached the village that Isabella had fallen sick with an incurable illness and was slowly wasting away. One of the physicians who tended her claimed her heart had stopped and that she'd died. The new count said this was not so. He dismissed the learned doctors, claiming he would care for her with his own hands. 3 days later, she appeared in front of her folk, saying she was fully recovered, and it appeared to be true, although she was ever afterwards pale and wan, and never left her chambers save by night. At first, none of the feuding nobles of Sylvania paid any heed to the commands of their new count. They were too wrapped up in their own bloody rivalries to listen to the edicts of one they saw as a usurper. If this bothered Vlad von Karstein, he gave no sign of it. He calmly proceeded to rebuild estates which had suffered from centuries of neglect. A farmer who had newly inherited a herd of cattle could not have paid more attention to the running of his lands. He cherished his tenants as a peasant family cherishes a beast they are fattening for the midsummer feast. After decades of rule by Mad Otto, this was all welcomed. Soon, however, dark things began to happen. Young girls and lads from the village began to disappear, and armies of the undead gathered. These were small forces at first. They did not attack any of the count's possessions, but harried those who disobeyed his authority. If the undead did not overcome the rebellious Sylvanians, then they fell victim to strange accidents. Baron Heinz Rothmeier was eaten by wolves. Baron Peter Kaplan was found dead in his rooms, his eyes wide open, his hair pure white. He had died of sheer terror. His wife went mad and passed away soon afterwards. The bandit lord Boris Earbiter was found hanging upside down from a tree, his body entirely drained of blood. Only those who had sworn fealty to Vlad von Karstein seemed immune to these depredations. Soon, the renegade nobles were clamoring to swear their allegiance. Within 10 years, with no apparent application of military force, von Karstein was more firmly in control of unruly Sylvania than any electors were of their states. Years passed in a blur. Generations of peasants were born and died in Drachenhof, and still Vlad and Isabella von Karstein ruled, apparently unchanged by the years. At first, few paid any attention to their longevity. The lives of peasants had always been nasty, brutish, and short, and nobles often enjoyed vastly longer lifespans. However, when the oldest woman of Drachenhof claimed that her grandmother had been a girl when von Karstein came to the throne, even the dim-witted and illiterate peasantry of Sylvania began to surmise that all was not as it seemed. More and more witch hunters were drawn to Sylvania. Those who investigated von Karstein were never seen again. However, worse was to come. The disease that had first laid Isabella von Karstein low began to strike other noble families allied with the Count. Soon, every castle in Sylvania was home to long-lived, nocturnal folk. The number of the living who went missing became increasingly noticeable. The temples to Sigmar were closed. Watch posts were set up along the border, and few were allowed to pass. More than any other state in the divided empire, Sylvania became a land in turmoil. On Geheimnis Nacht in the year 2010, after the birth of Sigmar, the nightmarish truth about Vlad von Karstein was revealed as he stood on the battlements of Drachenhof Keep and intoned a terrible incantation from the pages of the Nine Books of Nagash. Across the land, the undead stirred. Zombies clawed their way through the soft Sylvanian soil. Whites stirred in their crypts. Ghouls raced to join their new master. Von Karstein had drawn down the gauntlet to the Three Emperors. The wars of the vampire counts had begun. The Sylvanian armies headed northwest, driving for Talibheim, capital of the Otelia, one of the three claimants of the Imperial Throne. The undead force was huge. The vampire aristocracy of Sylvania led hordes of whites and zombies as the peasant levies marched alongside their masters, fighting for them as they would for any other overlord. These degenerates were accompanied by ghouls and wraiths and other darker things. At the Battle of Essen Ford, they crushed Ottilia's armies, routing the human force. Before the battle, von Karstein had promised the humans clemency if they surrendered, but no mercy if they opposed him. He was as good as his word. His followers executed every captive, and von Karstein reanimated their bodies. As he watched his men slaughtered, the Ottilia's general, Hans Schlieffen, became so incensed that he broke free from his captors in a berserker rage, seized the Count's enchanted sword, and struck off his head. For his pains, he was torn limb from limb by the Count's followers. The remaining vampires took to squabbling amongst themselves to see who would take over. Hermann Possner finally prevailed on the others. However, that very night, as Possner strutted at the head of the army, von Karstein returned. Possner claimed it was a trick, and von Karstein cut him down. This was not the last time this elusive count would come back from the dead. At the Battle of Schwarzhafen, Vlad was cut down by Jerry Kruger, leader of the Knights of the White Wolf, and the army of Sylvania was defeated by the forces of the Elector of Middenheim. Yet within a year, Vlad von Karstein was leading another army, and Kruger's smashed and bloodless body was found at the base of the Middenheim spire. At the field of Blotthof, von Karstein fell with five lances through his body, and the Count of Ostland's Runefang blade lodged in his heart. 3 days later, he was ordering the crucifixion of prisoners outside the town gates. At Bogenhafen Bridge, a lucky cannon shot took von Karstein's head off. Within the hour, the cannon crew were dead, and the village was being overrun. The soldiers of the Empire were gripped with terror in the face of such a seemingly invincible foe. By the winter of 2051, the Sylvanians laid siege to Altdorf itself. The city had been surrounded by a ditch edged with sharpened stakes outside the city wall, and the Reich had been redirected into the ditch to give the city a moat of fast-flowing water. None of the precautions taken by the defenders worked. They did not stop the Sylvanians. Screaming skulls lobbed by catapults built of bone terrified the citizens. Great siege engines built of fused human remains lumbered forward, animated by dark magic. Carrion birds flapped slowly overhead. Von Karstein gave his usual ultimatum. Open the gates and serve him while living, or fight on and serve him in death. The entire population, including Ludwig, the claimant to the imperial throne, wanted to surrender. But Grand Theognis Wilhelm III convinced Ludwig not to. He ventured into the great temple of Sigmar, and after 3 days of fasting and prayer, emerged claiming that Sigmar had revealed the salvation of the Empire to him. He knew the source of von Karstein's immortality. That day he dispatched an agent to the Vampire Count's camp. His name was Felix Mann, and he was the greatest thief of the age. He had been offered a pardon and sent on a quest by the Grand Theognist to steal the Vampire Count's ring. By stealth and trickery, Mann made his way to the heart of the Sylvanian camp. Heart in mouth, he entered the great black silk pavilion where the undead aristocrats lay sleeping in their open coffins. Such was their confidence that no one stood guard. Mann slipped the ring from von Karstein's finger and fled, not returning to Altdorf. No one knows what became of him and the Karstein ring. When he awoke, Vlad was enraged. He ordered an immediate attack on the city. The undead army surged forward. Great siege towers of bone wheeled to the walls. On the battlements of Altdorf, the defenders stood ready. Halberdiers pushed the siege ladders away, and dozens of undead fell, limbs flailing slowly to the ground. Whites and swordsmen hacked at each other across the battlements. Imperial heroes, armed with formidable magic weapons, cut down the vampire aristocrats, but were themselves in turn cut down. At the center of this vast struggle, high above the city, the Grand Theognis clashed with the Vampire Count. It was such a battle as few had ever seen. The two mighty champions exchanged blows. After an hour of constant combat, Vlad gained the upper hand. Sensing that the end was near, Wilhelm charged his foe, bearing him over the battlements. The two fell locked in an embrace of death. First, Vlad was impaled on a wooden spike at the wall's foot, and then Wilhelm landed on top, driving him still further down. With an awful scream, the Count expired for the final time, for without the unholy power of his ring to resurrect him, he at last had proven mortal. With von Karstein gone, the Sylvanians were forced to retreat. Over half the vampires were dead, but so great were the casualties inflicted on the men of Altdorf that no pursuit was possible. Grand Theognis Wilhelm was interned within the walls of the Temple of Sigmar, and to this day, men pray to his spirit when threatened by the legions of the undead. Within an iron-bound ebony treasure chest, in the tattered remains of the Black Pavilion, was discovered von Karstein's copies of the 9 Books of Nagash and the Liber Mortis. These were hastily placed under lock and key within the Temple of Sigmar. The last casualty of the Battle of Altdorf was Isabella von Karstein. Apparently unable to face eternity without her husband, she impaled herself on a stake and shriveled to dust before the eyes of the would-be Emperor Ludwig and his bodyguard. Ludwig would have used the time to press on into Sylvania and end the evil scourge forever, but the forces of the other two claimants to the throne joined against him, fearing that he might use his popularity as the surviving victor of the Siege of Altdorf to press his own claim to the throne. So, the pernicious lords of Sylvania were granted an interval to gather their strength. Conrad von Karstein. Among the vampires, there was dispute as to who was Vlad von Karstein's heir. There were 5 surviving claimants to the title: Fritz, Hans, Peter, Conrad, and Manfred. All could claim to be von Karstein's heir, since he had spread his curse to all of them. No single vampire had any better claim than the others. A vicious power struggle erupted as all of them claimed to be the true Count von Karstein. All came to bad ends. Fritz was killed whilst attempting to besiege Middenheim. Hans was killed by Conrad after a quarrel over who was the tougher, and Pieter was captured in his coffin by the witch hunter Helmut von Hall, a distant descendant of the infamous Van Hall, who sought to atone for his predecessor's crimes. Manfred's story is dealt with in more detail later. Conrad von Karstein was completely mad, even when compared to the rest of his family. When he had walked among the living, he even then had a reputation of being a blood-mad butcher, cruel, merciless, and insanely ruthless. For his pleasure, he had once ordered every cat in his domain to be used as sport for his crossbowmen. On at least two occasions, he had peasant villages put to the torch because he didn't like the smell. He tried his own mother for the crime of having given birth to him without his consent, and then he had her bricked up alive in her own tower. Acquiring power and longevity by becoming one of the undead did nothing to strengthen his already shaky grasp on reality. His reign of terror lasted nearly a century and caused his name to be used to frighten children to this very day. Lacking any skill in the art of necromancy himself, he enslaved any magician that his forces captured and forced them to do his evil will. Soon he headed a huge army that ravaged the length and breadth of the empire. Where his brother, Vlad, had always offered his opponents a choice between life and death, Conrad offered them a choice between dying immediately or dying painfully. Where Vlad von Karstein had looked upon humans as mere cattle, to be husbanded as a farmer would husband his livestock, Conrad looked on humans the way a cruel sportsman would look upon a herd of deer. Conrad was so vicious that he forced the free claimants to the imperial throne to combine forces against him on two separate occasions. The first time was at the Battle of Four Armies, an inconclusive draw fought outside Middenheim in 2100. This battle was most noticeable for the infamous scene when Ludwig's son, Lutwik, and the Ottilia of Talbakland treacherously ordered each other's assassination. The only thing that stopped Helmut of Marienburg becoming emperor was the fact that Conrad killed him. Even Helmut's son, Helmer, refused to accept his father's claim to the throne once he was a zombie under Conrad's control. The second time the forces fought together was at Grim Moor, where a combined army of humans and dwarfs finally defeated Conrad in the spring of 2121. The dwarf hero, Grufbad, held Conrad down while Helmer impaled his father's killer with his runefang. Manfred von Karstein, the last and most dangerous of the vampire counts, was Manfred, a subtle, devious, and treacherous individual. Some say he was awake when von Karstein's ring was stolen and laid a glamour on the sentries to prevent them from noticing it. While Conrad ravaged the empire, Manfred lay low and studied the art of necromancy. It is said that he journeyed as far as the kingdom of the dead in search of the secrets of unlife, returning to the castle at Drakenhof with a fund of dark lore, and biding his time until he felt sure of his power. After Conrad's death, he became the undisputed ruler of the Sylvanian hosts. But for a full decade, he did nothing, letting the various contenders for the imperial throne think the Sylvanian threat was over and giving them time to fall out amongst themselves, which they duly did. Once the empire was again racked by vicious civil war, Manfred deemed it time to strike. His undead legions crossed the Sylvanian border in the depths of winter and marched through the snows to Olddorf, putting any village they met to the sword and adding them to the ranks of their army. In the infamous winter of 2132, He defeated several hastily assembled Imperial armies that attempted to block his path. Victory followed victory, and dark rumors of Manfred's coming were enough to send villagers fleeing from their homes to freeze to death in the snow. His force reached Altdorf in late winter, and he arrived to find the city battlements empty of defenders. Triumph filled Manfred. He looked all set to take the Empire's greatest city when the Grand Theogonist, Kurt III, appeared on the battlements and began to recite the great spell of unbinding from the Liber Mortis. Seeing his followers begin to crumble to dust, Manfred ordered a hasty retreat. Although he was probably the most powerful of the vampire counts, his foes now seemed prepared to meet the undead threat head on. Manfred marched his army down the Reich to Marienburg. He intended to lay siege to the port, but found his plan thwarted by the army of Marienburg and a company of high elves who had recently established a trading colony there. Among the elves was the high mage Finrear, whose awesome power turned the battle against Manfred's forces at the crucial moment. Manfred settled down for a lengthy siege until his scouts revealed that an army from Altdorf was fast coming up behind him. He was forced to lift the siege and flee back the length of the empire. So began a long game of cat and mouse, where neither side was entirely sure who was the cat. Manfred's army would be whittled away by armies of the various imperial states, and then would replenish itself after a great victory. Eventually, Manfred was driven back into the Sylvanian forests. Determined not to make the same mistake as they had before, the desperate nobles of the empire swore a truce among themselves and slowly but surely began to scour the Sylvanian woods. In this task, they were aided by the dwarves. Now united, the citizens of the empire were relentless. Eventually, Manfred was brought to battle at Hellfen and cut down by the Count of Stirland as he attempted to flee the battle in his chariot. His body was lost at the very edge of the great swamp and was never found. For his feat, Martin, Count of Stirland, claimed all of Sylvania and added it to his domains. Since no one else actually wanted to claim the accursed land, no one gainsaid him. Thus was ended the threat of the vampire counts, or so it seemed at the time. Manfred was by far the longest lived of the vampire counts, and rumour has it that he still exists to this present day, threatening to return once more at the head of the undead Sylvanian armies. Indeed, the poet Felix Jaeger claims to have encountered him while in the company of the dwarf Gotrek Gernison, as late as 2503. Jaeger, however, is a known criminal and populist agitator, and his accounts of his travels are highly fanciful, so serious scholars discount the claim. One doubts whether a mighty vampire such as Manfred von Karstein could really be put to flight by an outcast dwarf, as Jaeger claims. Jaeger's account is no doubt spurious, so we shall content ourselves with the known facts of Manfred's life. As far as this history is concerned, Manfred von Karstein, last of the vampire counts, died at Hellfen. Long may he rest.
Thanks for watching, everybody. Please remember to give this video a like, subscribe if you're not subscribed, and let me know what you think in the comments below. And also share if you think you know people who might be interested in watching this kind of stuff. I will see you next time. Thanks to everybody supporting the channel. You can see your names here. Thanks very much, lads. I really appreciate it. I will be back for more soon. Thanks for watching. Cheers.